Thank you, Conrad, for jumping first. As it's my first time preaching here at SP, I ask for your grace and your patience. I'm so grateful that I can speak here. If you know my story, me being here is a testament to the grace of God. At home right now, I have my beautiful wife, Erin, and my two amazing kids, Phoebe and Jasper. And their presence in my life is a testimony to the goodness and mercy of God. So I first want to start by giving all glory to the Lord for all the work he's doing in all our lives. So today, my message is about perseverance. Now, for those of you who do not struggle with sexual brokenness, please continue to follow along. I hope that my message today can provide you with a little bit of insight and understanding into the struggles that some of your brothers and sisters are facing. For those of you who are struggling with sexual purity, I know that there are some of you who want to give up. You're tired after years of fighting the same battle over and over again. I've been there myself. Maybe you feel that this is the thorn in your flesh that will never be removed, that God is disappointed with all your failed promises and all your failures. Perhaps you're just hoping that in time, your struggle will go away. I'm sorry, but time by itself doesn't heal. It's what you do with that time. Healing, help, and hope is possible, but you must persevere. So brothers and sisters, as Christians, why should we persevere? Why should we persevere when we've waited years for our prayers and prophetic words to be answered? Why should we persevere when it doesn't seem that God is listening? Why should we persevere when nothing seems to be happening? No, we don't give up, because the Bible tells us to persevere. Writing about Moses, the writer to the Hebrews says, "By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered as though seeing him who was unclean." And writing to the persecuted church, James reminds us that blessed is the man who perseveres. Brothers and sisters, persevere, press in, do not give up. How long did Abraham persevere for? How long did it take for Jacob before he walked in his identity as Israel? How long did the Israelites wait to return from exile despite the promises of God? Did you know that Jackie Pullinger persevered for 7 years before her first convert here in Hong Kong? Erin and I were having a chat with our SP missionary Grace the other day. Now, most missionaries don't bother to learn Khmer when they move to Cambodia because it's simply too difficult. But Grace has been learning Khmer for over 10 years. Despite being laughed at, despite being corrected all the time, she hasn't stopped trying. She keeps persevering, and now she's nearly fluent. A member of my house church has given me permission to share her story of perseverance. 2 years ago, at the age of 90, her grandmother gave her heart to Jesus. Do you know how long she and her mom prayed for? 16 years. 16 years of regular persevering prayer. Persevere. So my message today is to encourage you to persevere in your journey to sexual wholeness. And I have 3 points to help us on this journey. The first point is, persevere because of how far you have gone. So we're going to look into this in 3 subparts, spiritually, physically, and relationally. Now, as I talk about how far we've gone, I'm not standing here pointing fingers at you. I'm aware of how far I have traveled and how hard it was to come back. I understand what it's like to be an addict, to feel ashamed of living a double life, to feel like an absolute hypocrite with no self-control. But I want you to know that if you do persevere, you will find that with Jesus and in community, there is hope, there is help, and there is healing. We all know the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. Today, I simply want to focus on one aspect of the story. In verse 13, it says, "The younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country, and he squandered his estate in wild living." The younger son went to a distant country. He went far away. He didn't leave SP and take a taxi down to Lockhart Road. No, he got on a, you know, he took a taxi to the airport, got on a plane, flew 12 hours away. I'm sure that's something which we all wish we could do right now. Brothers and sisters, if you are going to persevere, you need to know how far you have traveled, spiritually, physically, and relationally. You need to know the road ahead. That is why when we start PD, we make it clear that for some participants, they're embarking on a journey that's going to last 2 to 5 years. You've gone to a distant country, and it's going to take time to come back. So get ready. How do we find ourselves in a distant land spiritually? Romans 1 offers some insight. Verse 24 says, "Therefore God gave them up to vile impurity and the lust of their hearts, so their bodies would be dishonored among them." Verse 26 says, "For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for that which is contrary to nature." And just as the father in the prodigal son story allowed his son to go to a distant country, sometimes in his sovereignty, in his goodness, our Heavenly Father gives us over. If you're sitting here today and you're knowingly sinning in this area, please do not presume that Father God will stop you from going to the distant place. Remember what the standard is. Looking lustfully is adultery. Perhaps you only struggle with checking out people on the street or fantasizing about what you did in the past with your ex-boyfriend or girlfriend. Don't presume that you're not on the road to a distant place. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5, it says, "Hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord." Sometimes God might do it because he wants to save your life. I truly believe that is what he wanted to do for me. When the Lord handed me over, I experienced life without him as I fell hedonistically into sexual sin. Not praying and not reading the Bible was the least of my problems. I felt so distant from God, far from his presence, spiritually numb. I felt like I was on a runaway train with no brakes, and there was a cliff right ahead of me. Here's a truth spoken by Kay Arthur. Sin will take you further than you meant to go, keep you longer than you meant to stay, and cost you more than you ever meant to pay. Some of you are still praying. You still read the Bible. You go to house church. But the truth is, you're far away. We're called to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. That's Romans 6:11. But despite outward appearances, when temptation comes, do you behave like you are dead to Christ and alive to sin? Maybe you have a calling on your life, or maybe just a dream to do something great for the kingdom. Perhaps a prophetic word or vision was spoken over you, but right now it seems so far away. And every time you struggle sexually, that calling, that dream, that prophetic word seems further and further away, and your commitment to your destiny drops. Perhaps you know there's so much more spiritual potential, but somehow your behavior and your sin is limiting it, and so you're settling for something a lot less. Friends, you may be in a distant land spiritually, but I want you to know that it's not too late to turn back. There are also physical as well as spiritual consequences to our sin. When we're in a distant land, our bodies start to change physically too. What goes on inside your mind will impact the rest of your body. So at PD, at Pure Desire, we encourage our members to understand the science behind their addictive behavior. And one of the key concepts is that of tolerance and sensitivity. PSAM touched upon this a few weeks ago. So let's start with tolerance. So looking at pornography creates a huge high. That is true. And we can remember how we felt the first time. We can remember that high. But as you look at more and more pornography, you find yourself becoming more and more tolerant to the high that you receive. Just like drugs. Just like spicy food. And because our body regulates itself, that means that after a period of time, you no longer react with the same high that you previously felt. However, we remember that first high, so we look to recreate it. We do that by looking for something new. something edgier, something spicier, something more hardcore, maybe something more morally dubious. Now this creates a new high again, but that doesn't last. And so the cycle continues and continues until you feel compelled to act out, not to feel high, but just to feel normal. That is how addiction escalates. Now, sensitivity is different from tolerance. Our brains also can become more and more sensitized to experience. You find yourself getting triggered more and more by billboards, by recommended photos on Instagram, by that waitress. In other words, it is easier and easier for you to become aroused, but you are experiencing less and less fulfillment each time. This is the perfect storm that the devil wants you to be trapped in. There are so many accounts of individuals, Christian and non-Christian, who became tolerant of heterosexual pornography. So they started to go into homosexual pornography, and then they became tolerant of that. And then they went into illegal pornography. There are Christian testimonies of biologically born men who became so tolerant of heterosexual and homosexual sex that they decided to have gender reassignment surgery so that they could experience sex as a woman. That is distant land. I'm sorry, this is quite heavy. Male problems. This is also linked to tolerance, I'm afraid. Increasingly, there are studies in secular academia which have been investigating how pornography can lead to physical issues such as low libido and inability to be intimate with a physical woman. Here's the thing. If you need to look at 30 beautiful women on a computer screen to be aroused, how are you going to be satisfied if there's just one physically beautiful woman in front of you? I don't care how beautiful she is. If you're used to looking at 30, one is not going to cut it. To my shame, Erin would ask me, am I not beautiful enough? She is. She was. But because of tolerance, I had changed physically to the point where I needed to look at many women. This is the distant land. Leaving your wife crying in bed because she doesn't feel she's enough. And the reality is, it doesn't matter how beautiful she wasn't enough. And it got to the point where we were having serious problems in our marriage. We were seriously doubting whether we could ever have kids. But praise God, your brain and your body can reboot. Romans 12 verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of our minds is not just a biblical concept. It's a scientific one. It's the concept of neuroplasticity. Our brains and our bodies can change. Praise the Lord. Tolerance and sensitivity can return to godly levels. The subject of your arousal can truly only be the wife of your youth. And I have found this in my life too. I'm so thankful now that my wife is more attractive to me than we first started dating 13 years ago. That God has given us two amazing kids, Phoebe and Jasper, 7 and 2. It takes time. It wasn't easy, but God made it happen. And if it happened to me, it can happen to you. Now, if you're far away spiritually and physically, you're also going to find yourself far away relationally. There is a battle for our minds right now. The devil wants to destroy our communities and pervert our view of women, men, and of relationships. What we watch affects us. Here's a rather drastic example. In a secular study, again secular, of 500 university students in America in 2011, 25% of male students admitted to watching rape pornography. The study then reported that these students were more likely to believe rape myths. For example, when a woman says no, she really means yes. So these men were watching degrading videos where a woman would say no, but then change her consent as they were being abused and assaulted. And the result? They watched so many videos that they started to believe that this was genuinely how women behave. That when a woman says no, she really means yes and wants you to abuse her. So what do you think is going to happen for these 100 students when they meet a real woman who then says no? Our mind shudders to think. What you watch impacts how you view women. I want you to check yourself now. Have you ever even justified a lustful look by thinking, she's clearly dressing that way so that I can look at her. She's asking for it. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever considered that in reality you're sexually objectifying her, dehumanizing her, and stripping away her personality? Husbands in the house, how is your relationship with your wife? Have your views on intimacy and romance been eroded by the movies and material that you're watching? What is sex to you? Is it a place for genuine connection and love? Or is it an activity designed to give you a release and for you to exert male dominance over your wife? Is it possible that your sexual brokenness and struggles is taking up so much bandwidth that your wife feels left behind? Have you been gaslighting your wife? To my shame, that is what I was doing. When we had problems in the bedroom, I would divert the blame back to her to make it feel like everything was her fault. I did this to take the attention off myself, especially since I knew that I was really the one causing the problems. To those of you who aren't married, think carefully. Have your views of women been impacted by what you've been watching? Do you feel more superior to them? Do you feel entitled to their attention? Is it possible that some of your unchecked biases towards women have been caused by the material of what you've been watching and reading? Brothers and sisters, you've gone to a distant land, spiritually, physically, relationally. It's going to be a long journey back, but persevere, please, do not give up. Now, friends, we found that doing PD alongside the river and individual counseling is so helpful. Conrad and I are well aware that for some of you, this journey to the distant land was not initiated by you, but by someone else. We've heard stories and testimonies of heartbreak, abuse, trauma, of broken trust, of innocence taken away. Please rest assured that we understand the shame, the confusion, the injustice, and the hurt, and we will walk with you. Okay, my second point is shorter. It's persevere because of where you are going. Okay, here's a quick test. Do not think of P-Sam. Who did you think of? We all thought of P-Sam, right? So, as important as it is, we don't meet on Monday nights simply to say, don't look at porn, don't look at porn, don't go to massage parlors. We don't do that. As much as it's good to stop doing destructive behavior, we meet to encourage one another, to turn our eyes towards Jesus, to head towards the goal that God has set for each one of us. Ladies and gentlemen, where are you heading? Proverbs 29, verse 18. The KJV says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Or the ESV states, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. So what is the prophetic vision for your life? This is so important. If we do not know where we are heading, then it is very hard to persevere. It's okay if you don't have a clear idea or if your motives are mixed. The prodigal son's motives were certainly mixed. He simply wanted to leave the pigsty and was looking for food. I've now had the privilege of leading PD for a few years and have also started counseling addicts in private practice. But that wasn't my vision when I first started recovery. For me, I didn't know exactly, but I knew that I had to head towards a new relationship with my wife and with the Lord. That was my vision. And I also had a feeling that my destiny would somehow start to be revealed to me as my relationship with Jesus was restored. It was blurry, but that was where I wanted to go. Literally, just bring me to the place, Lord Jesus, where I can eventually receive the vision and calling for my life. Just bring me there. I don't need to hear it. Just bring me there first. And so that kept me persevering through inner healing, through the relapses, through years of individual counseling, through the failures, through marriage counseling, through fights with my wife, through recovery groups like PD. That vision kept me persevering until eventually, and it will happen, the fog started to lift. Now, ultimately, it's going to look different for each one of us, But we have to return to the Father. Just like the prodigal son, we need to have our sights and our vision on returning home to Father God. And when you're on the road home, with a loving embrace, when you least expect it, the Father will come and meet you and bring out the fattened calf and give you a kiss and a robe. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a moment. Close your eyes now. Ask the Lord, do you know where you're heading? What is the vision for my life? If you don't know where you're heading, perhaps now is the season to start praying. We do not want to cast off restraint. We do not want to perish. Maybe someone spoke a word over you once, or maybe you have that calling that was impressed on your heart. Don't give up on it. Really, I truly believe that your destiny and your legacy is at stake. My third and last point is that you must persevere in community. Perhaps what we've spoken today, what Conrad has shared, is stirring in your heart, but you've never told anyone. This could be something difficult to hear, but you must tell someone. You must bring this to the light if you want victory. I'd been convicted many times before. I was too proud to tell anyone. I wanted to people to think that I was doing well, that I was a respectable Christian who didn't struggle with this type of brokenness. And so I would recommit myself, hit myself a couple of times, pray for myself, and then I would have some periods of victory, only to fail miserably and find myself in an even worse position than originally. You see, how can you pray earnestly for God to deliver you where you're not truly open with your wife and your friends? We need community. Let's say a Christian friend of you says he doesn't need to come to church or the house church, that he can simply listen to Peace Sam every Sunday by himself and pray for himself. Clearly, we would say, no, you need community. Yet why is it when it comes to sexual brokenness, we hide away? Okay, here are two reasons why we need community. Number one, confession. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Do you want healing? You need to confess your sins to one another. I'm sorry, but the verse doesn't say confess your sins to God. It says, which you obviously have to do, but it says confess your sins to one another. There's no exceptions here. If you cannot think of anyone to confess your sins to, if it's too embarrassing, if the thought of it is just making you shudder right now, you can contact me or Conrad. Our emails are on the slide right now. Even just drop us a line saying, I need help. We'll keep it totally confidential. You've got to start this journey, and we're here to help you on that. We won't let anyone know, don't worry. And here's another thing. We need to walk in the light and not in isolation. So it's not just about confessing your sins to one another. That's actually the bare minimum. God can do much more when you start to confess your temptations with one another, your weaknesses, your brokenness. If you do that, you're going to start receiving a greater measure of healing. Number two, strength in numbers. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 to 12 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. This is a difficult battle, and you do need help. The fact that you are struggling today shows that you can't do this by yourself. Having a healthy community is absolutely necessary if you want to persevere. We need to be encouraged by one another. We need to pray together, fight together, walk together on that highway of holiness. Here's what Conrad and I have found special about PD. It's not just an accountability group. It's an accessibility group. It's not that we don't ask a certain number of questions each week. We do ask the tough questions. Is that we give each other permission to ask any question. And when it comes to trust, I don't trust Conrad because he's my mate. I don't trust Conrad because I know I can go to him for help. That is part of the equation. I trust Conrad because I also know that he will come to me for help. I know it's scary. I know that you might feel exposed. But when you come to something like our Heart of Man event, or you come to PD for the first time, something is going to switch inside of you. You will see that you're not alone. You will see there's a community of brothers who will support you and encourage you and persevere with you. These opportunities don't come around very often. Please take it. Perhaps today is the day when you will draw a line in the sand and say goodbye to isolation. So please sign up to the Heart of Man. Please sign up to Pure Desire. I now want to give a shout out to the wives. Husbands, if your wives are looking after the kids right now, please call them back into the room. I'll give you 10 seconds to do so. Call them back. Just look after the kids for a minute. Ladies, you are the untold heroes of perseverance. I know that there are some of you who have been through hell. I know that your husband's sexual activity has caused you immense pain and trauma. I'm sorry if he has gaslit you. I'm sorry if he has told you to just put up and just accept him. I'm sorry if life always seems to be about his recovery and his sin, and you just have to put your emotional needs and pain to one side. I'm sorry if you've been asked to forgive him without anyone acknowledging the pain that you're going through. Ladies, it's not my position here to tell you to persevere with your spouse who is struggling and who has hurt you so badly. So here are some words that my wife Erin has written. You're not alone. God sees you, and every tear you have shed, every ounce of loneliness you have suffered in your marital bed, and every tormented lie you hear about how you're not enough, that you should be better looking, thinner, more godly, more forgiving. God sees you and has a plan to redeem all of it for you, as he has done for me. You're not alone, so don't suffer alone. Run to Jesus with your tears. Let him open your heart to your community. We're here. Let's persevere together. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how far you have gone. Persevere and look forward. It's a long journey back, but remember, this is a journey that you do not have to do alone. In fact, you can't do it alone. And you can't do it out of your own strength either. You need the presence and grace of God and a loving community. For me, my journey home started nearly 10 years ago at 2 o'clock in the morning. My life had gotten completely out of control due to my addictive and self-destructive behaviors, and I was spending the night in a holding cell in a police station. I wanted to give up. I had made an absolute mess of my life, but I will never forget my wife, with supernatural grace, speaking to me as if the Lord was, saying that she wanted to forgive me, that she still loved me, and most of all, she wanted me to come back home. Let's not delay, brothers and sisters. Let's go home.
Amen. Thank you, brothers, for sharing your hearts with us. It was very challenging. Let's just take a moment. Let's just respond to the Holy Spirit. Just close your eyes. You know, we asked the question a few weeks ago. Do you want the appearance of wholeness, or do you want the real thing? Do you want the appearance of freedom, or do you want the real thing? I believe that God is leading our congregation in this season. There's a special grace for us right now to really pursue the real thing. And so can we just respond to the Holy Spirit right now? Maybe it's not anything that deals with sexual wholeness. Maybe it's another area of your life. Maybe there's something else that the Holy Spirit is highlighting that he wants to set you free in. Maybe there's a lying issue, or maybe it's something about your identity, and And let's just respond. And the worship team is going to lead us. And, you know, it's a bit open-ended. And let's go before the Holy Spirit. Let's ask God to do a deep work in us and continue to speak to us about this season of our lives. So let's pray together.
I could let you down over and over, but your love never changes. Oh Lord, you're so patient. And if I run back home, God, you come running. Your love never changes. Oh Lord, one more time, I could let you down. I can let you down over and over, but your love never changes. Oh Lord, you're so patient. And if I run back home, God, you come running. Your love never changes. Oh Lord, you're so gracious. With a kiss, with a ring and a robe, you have found me. With a kiss, with a ring and a robe, you have found me, you have found me. I can let you know. And I could let you down over and over, but your love never changes. Oh Lord, you're so patient. And if I run back home, God, you come running. Your love never changes. Oh Lord, you're so gracious. With a kiss, with a ring and a robe, you have found me, you have found me. With a kiss, with a ring and a robe, you have found me. It feels like coming home. And it feels like coming home for the first time in a long time. It feels like coming home. Let all the prodigals come home. Let all the prodigals come home. I can hear you calling, come back. I can hear you calling, come back home. I hear you calling, come back. I can hear you calling, come back. With a kiss, with a ring and a robe, you have found me. You have found me. With a kiss, with a ring and a robe, you have found me. You have found me.
The Lord's loving kindness never ceases. His compassion never fails. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I want you to know that we have a Father God that is so madly in love with us. I just had a sense that some of you guys are sitting at home and you listen to the messages, and you know there's this deep feeling inside of you that God's disappointed in you, that you could do better. I want you to know it's not true. I want you to know that the Father loves you. His mercies are new every morning. He tells us in Timothy, and he says, even when we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And God just wants to call you to come home. Come home to that place of rest, that place of refuge, the place of healing. Don't try to fight this battle on your own. You're never meant to do that. You're meant to fight it together with friends, with brothers and sisters in Christ. And so come home. I hope you really listen to the words of our awesome men this morning. Come home. And so I just want to just lead into maybe just a short time of response. And whatever that means to you to come home, whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to you, respond to the Lord and then take the next steps to get to that place. Can we do that? Just go before the Lord. I'll just pray in a moment and I'll close our time.
It feels like coming home for the first time in a long time. It feels like coming home. Oh, it feels like coming home for the first time in a long time. It feels like coming home. Oh, it feels like coming home for the first time in a long time. It feels like coming home. And it feels like coming home. Calling, come back home. I can hear you calling. Come back home.
Let's pray together. Father, we are aware, God, of the schemes of the enemy who wants to rob, kill, and destroy. But Lord, you came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Lord, we recognize, God, that there are some in our community, God, that are not experiencing this abundant life. Instead, Lord, experiencing shame, rejection, fear. Lord, you want to flip the script, God. Lord, you've made available to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross. You've made available to us, God, freedom. Faith, Lord, your love poured out. I pray, God, that the men and women of this church would step in to that place of healing, Lord, through the river, through pure desire, through betrayal and beyond, Lord, and through other programs and things that we put together, God, not only as a church, but in this city, that we'd reach out to you and reach out to others. God, call us all home, Lord. Call us home. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you would seal this message in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, begin to do a deep work in us as we wrestle with the words that were spoken these last few weeks. God, we thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. From this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning to worship the Lord together. Please spend some time digging deeper with God about these topics, and let's really pursue the real thing. Amen. If you need any prayer for anything, you can go into one of our rooms, and our well ministers would gladly pray for you. Keep on track with your house church leaders about church opening. There's a really, really high chance that we will open this weekend coming up for Easter weekend. Praise God. And so your house church leaders will dispense all the information, the website, all those things. So just keep an ear on what's going on, and hope to see you live very soon as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, God bless you guys. Take care. Bye-bye.